I was trying to think how many times over the years I've heard anybody preach from the parable of the sower, and it's actually not very many that I've heard. I'm sure it must be done all the time, but I was thinking about what it means and how we can sort of interpret that. And I didn't spend very much time looking at Googling it, but I had a quick look through, and people interpret it or use it to make various different points. So it struck me that there's about five different ways that we can take this. So we can take it historically. And if we look at it historically, that Jesus was speaking and telling people about the kingdom of God, and depending which of the versions we look at, Jesus was talking about the kingdom of God and comparing it to all sorts of different things. And in this instance, we can look at that and say that he was talking about how the kingdom of God was going to be established on earth. And of course, he was speaking to a people that were waiting for the Messiah. Now, they were under the Roman sort of empire. They were waiting for the Messiah to come as a conquering warrior to kick out the Romans and to establish the kingdom of God there in the country. And basically, Jesus spent quite a lot of time actually debunking that expectation that the Jews had. So we can take this as that he's explaining it's not going to be the way that that you've been thinking, that culturally you're expecting the Messiah to come. But it's going to be a different kind of Messiah, a different kind of kingdom. And you know, we could go and we could look at that, but as a family service, we're just going to skip over all of these different things. We could take it as a warning to our souls. You know, and we could have a look and say, well, which ground are we like? Which ground are you like? Are your hearts hard and unresponsive, or are your hearts hard and unresponsive? Do you have little depth to your Christian walk? Your roots are shallow? You know, things come along, whether it be the pleasures or the troubles of life, and that you wither and fall away. You know, are indeed those worries and the pleasures of life leading you astray from walking with God? And we could look at that, we could develop that, and we could press right in and see it as a warning. We could take it as an instruction. An instruction about how we prepare the soil for seeds to be sown. We could think about all the folks that are outside of the church. We could, you know, in our mental eye, we could sort of look down the high street of Truro or wherever and think about the folk there and think, what sort of soil is the seed being sown in? What sort of soil do they represent? How could we sow the seed in there? How can we remove the stones? How can we get rid of the weeds and plow the ground? I mean, we could look at it that way, and we could develop that in some sort of depth. We could take it as an explanation of why much of the seed that we sow is unproductive. And I think we often fail to sow seeds because we've not seen success when we've spoken to people about Jesus in the past. And you know, and it is quite a good parable for doing that. It helps us to understand. You know, we sow the seeds. Sometimes it seems like nothing's happened. Sometimes people make a response. And we can use it for that. We can make it help us to understand why our sowing seeds, our evangelism, our reaching out to the community is not as successful as we would like it to be. You know, and I think that's really helpful. It's really helpful that we understand that when we sow the seeds, not all of them are going to be fruitful. Some will fall on hard ground where it takes no root, or it'll take a shallow root. There's a brilliant book, little tiny book by a guy called Lawrence Singlehurst called Sowing, Reaping, Keeping. That's an old copy, so it's probably not the same cover anymore. Now, I kind of recommend getting a copy and reading it in that it helps us to understand the whole process of sowing, reaping, and keeping. You know, that we sow to a lot of people, but a small number of people come through to the next kind of phases of reaping and keeping them. And it's just, in a sense, there's nothing new in the book. When you kind of read it and you, It's just a bit of a relief, really. You think, oh, yeah, that's so obvious. Oh, that makes so much sense. It takes a lot of pressure out of the whole process of reaching out to people. I'm slowly sowing my possessions all over the place. We could take it as a demonstration. We could take it as a demonstration as to how we're sowed. So we could use it kind of like a manual for reaching out, for sowing the seeds. Meet Jasper and his friends. I've never really grown anything before. I'm not particularly interested in gardening. Interested in any way. I am happy to do the construction projects. You know, I'll go to Helen's got an allotment, and I'm happy to go up there and build things, do the heavy work. You know, it gives me a chance to pull out my boys' toys and play like that. But when it comes to that whole process of, you know, you've prepared the ground, you've sown the seeds, they start to come up, the weeds come up, so you get rid of the weeds, and then you know, it rains. You have a week of rain, doesn't it? You go back and whole blooming thing is just covered in weeds again, and it just does my head in. I really can't be bothered with all of that when it comes to gardening. It just, yeah. I went out with Helen the other night and saw just that, and I thought, I've dug that, I've prepared that, and I look at it. But this year I decided I would grow something, and one of the things that Helen's never grown is carrots, because she says the soil isn't really very good down here for growing carrots. Now, her dad used to grow carrots, and they were great. So I thought, well, I'm going to rise to the challenge, and I'm going to sort of prepare the ground and do all the stuff, and I'm going to grow some. And those are my carrots, or some of my carrots. They're heritage carrots, so they're in different colours. Some of them were grown in a tub, so I knew that the soil was going to be right because I went and bought it. There's no weeds in there. I bought it without weeds, so I'm like, I'm on a winner here. And then I had a dozen carrots. There's millions of the rest of the things in there. So I left with loads of these. So I thought, well, I'll go and put them in the allotment. So I dug a trench that was, I think the next door neighbours said, well, we're intrigued to see what you're going to sow in there. It's big enough for a body. And I did all that kind of stuff. And I did the sowing seeds exactly like this. You know, I got it all there, and I ran my finger along to make a nice groove just at the right depth. And then I put my seeds in one at a time. I didn't quite measure them out, but, you know, sort of give them the amount of space between the seeds and the right space between the rows. And then I, you know, covered it over, and I didn't do anything else. I didn't really need to. You know, God watered it, apart from the times when it was hot and sunny, so I did a little bit, gave him a bit of a hand there. But that's what came along. And we got some great carrots out of it. Not big enough to enter into a competition, but certainly big enough to eat. Very nice they were too. And I guess in the West, that's the way that we whether we're in a garden or an allotment or on a farm, that's kind of the way that we sow our seeds, isn't it, for carrots or whatever. We prepare the soil, and whether it's with a machine or with your little pinky, you put your seeds at the right kind of depth, the right distance, and all the rest of it, and hopefully they grow up and produce a crop. It's not the way that it was done, of course, in Jesus' day. When Jesus was thinking and talking about the parable of the sower, he was thinking much more in the way of the video that we had, where they were just, I think it was called broadcast sowing, where you just grabbed a handful and you just chucked it out, and you walked along sort of just casting and sowing the seeds, and in a sort of fairly random kind of way. And I don't think it's a kind of just by sort of coincidence that was what Jesus was doing. It was the picture that everybody would have had in their mind of a farmer. That is the way that you did it. You didn't have machines to go and do it. And so, but that's, I think, is the way that God is, as Jesus is saying, that we should sow seeds in society. That's the picture that we need to do. We should be generous. Hannah and I don't you just share that little thing that, because we were just talking before the service, and I guess that one's on, and you can just use that one.
Before the service, Martin said to me, I'm going to talk about the parable of the sower. And I said, oh, that's really interesting. I went for a walk in the countryside the other day, just out from our house, down the lane towards St Clement. And I find that when I go out walking, it's a really helpful way of talking to God. I just find that I can hear him a lot clearer. And I was really taken by the hedgerows as I walked out, and the amount of seeds on all the heads of grass and all the blackberries, and just the amount of fruitfulness and seeds all around me. And I just felt this sense of God saying, be generous with your life, be generous with, and it wasn't just about evangelism, it was about displaying the kingdom of God in all the way that I live my life. So yes, about telling people about Jesus, but also about acts of kindness and generosity and hospitality, lots of different ways that I felt.
Yeah, thank you, Hannah. So before we had that conversation, I put in my notes here, I put down, be generous, be bonkers, sow the seed of the gospel all over the place. And as Hannah said, it's not just about the spoken word, although that's kind of where we're focusing this morning. It is about our lives, that we share our lives with people. And don't worry about how it's received or how productive it is. I don't mean by that to go and ram it down someone's throat, whether they're interested in it or not, because that's counterproductive. But go out with grace, go out with joy, spread the good news. So we can take it in all of those five ways, we can take this parable. But my challenge this morning is looking at the fifth one here. So here's my challenge to you today. To sow liberally. Not just, I don't know, when you're so-called an evangelist, you can slot into, you only go and do it when you're working. And that's a real challenge that I'm sort of facing at the moment, is to not just do it when we've got it in the diary to go out on the streets, and we haven't got it in the diary. I'm sorry, Jen, I haven't looked at it because I've been busy. I will do, though. But to sow liberally, to do it all the time, it's part of your life. And don't be just overly focused on the results. That's kind of God's job, isn't it? It's not really our job. I typed up too. Yeah, there we go. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 7 says, so neither the one that the plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only sow the seeds. It's God's job to water it, to make it grow. And John 4, 37, thus the saying that one sows, another reaps is true. And that very often, you find that, I mean, I've seen that most of my ministry has been, it's kind of a sowing ministry, working in the hard places. And other people seem to have a great ministry that of reaping, and they just seem to come swanning along, and it's a bit like Hot Dog Paul. First started witnessing to Hot Dog Paul 20, 30 years ago, and then the last year or so, Chris came along and just happened to connect with him. Paul has obviously moved along and kind of, I don't know whether you led him to the Lord, but the result of that conversation. And we're not to worry about who reaps, who sows. We need to sow. And as we sow, some of us will reap. So that's my challenge. Sow liberally and don't be focused on the results. And hot off the press, you'll have found on your seats a little tract that I wrote. So I was looking at you, pondering doing a step back a pace. The guys up in London the last couple of years have been doing a mission called the Go Mission, which was originally going to be called the Monopoly Mission. And the object of it is to go to all the places mentioned on the Monopoly board to preach the gospel. And London's such a big place that it gives a focus to where you go and how you do it. They decided they need to change the name from Monopoly Mission because they kind of figured that Monopoly had probably got the monopoly on the word Monopoly. I'm not entirely sure, but there's a Cornish Monopoly Board. So I looked at the Cornish Monopoly Board and thinking, should we do something down here? And it's got lots of really weird places. It's obviously all to do with sponsorship. So Gingster's Pasties, I know that's, you really shouldn't put those two words in the same sentence. Something of an oxymoron. But it's one of the places on the Monopoly Board. And I thought, oh, how can you go and do an outreach at Gingster's Pasties? And I thought, oh, you could write a tract about pasties. And that's the result of it. So I've put them there. And to encourage you, here's a little seed that you could take and you can sow to give to somebody. And please, well, you don't have to take it. If you don't want to take it, that's fine. Just leave it on your seat. But I'd encourage you to take it and look for someone that you could pass it along to. And if you think, I really like that, I'll take half a dozen. Well, I've got 2,000 of them, actually. Not all here with me, but you can take a handful and pass them away.